Colossians 1, verse 24 to 29. Verse 24 starts with, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me." At the end of verse 23 from last week, it says that I, Paul, was made a minister. And for the rest of this chapter, verse 24 to 29, Paul goes on to explain what it means to be a minister. Or the Greek word is diakonos, which can also be translated as servant. So what it means to be a servant of God. This is a very important teaching for the young Colossian church at the time, as they lay out the ground for them to grow and mature in Christ through service. I think a key point of this segment is that as a follower of Jesus, we are called to a life of service, serving God and be a good steward of the mystery, a crucial aspect of Christian life. So first, 24, I read it out again, just a reminder. "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake." So here, Paul is very straight with the Colossians. As we serve God, one of the first things we would encounter is suffering. This is part and parcel of everyday life on earth, including life of Christians. In particular, as we serve God, we will get persecuted. So 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Moreover, Paul rejoiced in his suffering. Yes, you heard it right. Rejoice in his suffering. You know, that is not a normal response. How could he rejoice in sufferings? I would say that Paul focused on the results or the effect the sufferings lead to, not necessarily the suffering itself. He knew the results of the pain would be a gain for Christ in his life and the lives of others. As James chapter 1, verse 12 reminded us, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Although suffering is a very tough thing to go through, some good can come as a result of the suffering as well." The verse also said that Paul's suffering were for Colossians' sake. In a way, I think it's suggesting that as Christians, we can take up suffering for other Christians and the church. As an example of that could be prayer and fasting for those suffering illnesses or persecutions. If we suffer for others, it shows we have deep concerns for them. We hurt when they hurt. We are alongside them. We long for them to be well. We grieve for them. As we serve others, it keeps us humble, so not only benefits others, but we also receive benefits as well. The second part of verse 24 is, "And in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction." This verse to some may suggest that Christ's saving work on the cross was incomplete. This is not what the verse is saying. The death of Christ was a once and for all perfect and finished work. Nothing can be added or subtracted from the finished work of Christ. What the verse is suggesting is that Paul's flesh received the sufferings of Christ after Jesus' crucifixion. What do I mean by that? Remember, Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, where Jesus said in Acts 9:5, says, So, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. As Christ died and rose to sit at the right hand of the Father, how was Christ being persecuted by Saul then? At the time, Saul was persecuting Christians such as Stephen's. As the Spirit of Christ lives in Christians after conversion, whenever Christians are persecuted, Christ is persecuted also. So the afflictions of Christ continue through the church, the body of Christ these days, and in the ages to come as well. So in a way, this part is also our work as we serve God to suffer for Christ on earth, which continues his work, and we can be more closely identified to Christ's suffering and joy through it as well. Verse 25, of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. Paul was commissioned by God as a diakonos, a servant of the church, not a performer on stage, not a people pleaser, but a servant to do what is needed for the church to mature and grow, including suffering as part of the job. As servants of the church, we have responsibility to the church, and a key responsibility highlighted here is the preaching of the word of God. And verse 26 defined it as a mystery. Verse 26 says, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generation, but has now been manifested to his saints. The mystery has previously been hidden and has now been revealed through Christ. No one could fully understand how salvation would take place or how God would fulfill his promises before the coming of Christ. Nothing in the Old Testament clearly described the process by which God is going to save his people. Actually, at this point, I would note that Paul carefully chose the word mystery to contrast the mystery from false teachings of the Gnosticism. So those false teachers were very keen on mysteries and secret knowledges that they claimed they had and no one else knew, which made them superior to others. But Paul proclaimed the true great mystery is Christ, the hope and source of salvation that previous generations longed to know and is revealed and completed in the person and work of Jesus. Verse 27, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this is something that was kept hidden for ages past, but is now something that God wants known. It is now an open secret that God wants all to know about. He wants the riches of this mystery, Christ, revealed. Part of the mystery is that there is salvation for the Gentiles, and the answer is Christ as well. So Christ is the mystery for salvation for all people on earth, the Jews as well as non-Jews. The word Christ in you in verse 27 reminds me of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This is something we don't see enough in the lives of Christians today. And of course, my life included. So Christians understand that Christ's death paid for their sins so that we can be forgiven and go to heaven. But it often stops there. I'm forgiven and I go to heaven. Many don't think much about Christ died so that he may live in us. Yes, as Christians, Christ lives in me, lives in you. What does it mean, Christ lives in me? What does it look like in my life? So it's the Spirit of Christ in us that is the source of revelation, power, change, ability to stand firm and resist temptation. Also means we are never alone. So Jesus has given us himself because we don't have what it takes to live the Christian life. We really need to know what it means, Christ in us, and practice Christ actually living in us, not just die for us, and we get to go to heaven. Sorry, back to verse 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. As we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, our hope cannot be in ourselves, but in Christ. The hope of glory is through Christ we can lead a transformed life now, as well as living a sure hope of eternity in heavens in the future. Christ is the hope of glory. Christ himself is also the prize awaiting in glory, and knowledge of him is life's greatest treasure. Verse 28. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Paul is called to steward the message of Jesus by making it fully known through proclaiming Christ, not proclaiming programs or good works or any method that attracts crowds, but we are to proclaim Christ. Giving warnings and teaching everyone about Christ, though we often make it about ourselves, like, I don't know how to proclaim Christ. I'm not a pastor or a preacher. Neither am I, but we all need to learn and practice. That's what we're called to do, as Paul illustrated here. So what does admonishing every man mean? We are also to give warnings, such as warnings about sin, judgment, and hell. They are often unpopular messages that need to be shared, but they are rarely preached. It's essential to warn all unsaved people about eternal judgment, whether they believe it or not, even if they don't want to hear it. So admonishing every man and teaching them with all wisdom. I think the all wisdom part means present Christ with tact, love, authority, winsomeness, and teaching them about how they should act, what they should do. The aim of proclamation is to help every person, including the Colossians, towards maturity in Christ. Verse 29. For this purpose, also I labor, striving according to his power which mightily works within me. Paul worked hard in fulfilling his stewardship role for God, and he knows it is not by his own effort or power to accomplish this goal, but he must rely on the energy and power of God to work through him. We can see that God chooses to accomplish it through human labor, with his divine power. This is often God's way. He chooses to partner with us, to bless us, join us closer to him. Paul set us a great example for all Christians as a servant of God. We need to recognize we have been given the same stewardship. we are called to proclaim Christ and to help all people grow to maturity in Christ. May we be faithful towards, may we be faithful stewards of the mystery of Christ. I'll invite the worship leader to play some background music first. So remember, Christ is not merely a mean for us for salvation, but rather he is the goal of our Christian life. Christ is the hope of glory. It's all about Christ. What do you say to people about Christ? Do you share about the mystery revealed through Christ? Do you proclaim Christ at all? Ask God if there's someone he wants you to share Christ with. What should you want? What do you teach about Christ for this person? What will the person receive in repentance? What will change? Let's take a moment to meditate on that. Yes, Lord God, you are worthy of our worship. May we be good stewards of the mystery that you have given us in proclaiming you, Lord God. For you are our salvation and our hope for this life as well. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let us turn to our corporate community prayer time. And let's take a moment to pray for those who are suffering from cancers and from chemo radiation therapy. Next night, we'll be praying for those who don't know Jesus and also have some illness. Yes, pray that God sends laborer to proclaim his gospel to them, and that will be effectively communicated and good soil to receive as well. So it's full healing. And next night, we'll be praying for community of brother and sister who suffer other infirmities. Next night, we will pray for those who are still looking for a job. And yes, we praise God for John only started work on Monday. Today, our mission focus, church plants, local Kisam King, the S2 Singapore, and also for Indonesian Fellowship Way, and the Kalamat, also Filipino ministry here as well. New Yorkers that believe it to be that's the point. education ministry thì hiện không có là yes, I move on to go to discuss now and come to the relaunch of this ministry. Later on, perhaps next month, when the service will resume in person, we hope. And also pray for our youth director, leader, and college pastor, P. Andrew, as well. Also, we want to cover our intercessory prayer ministry led by Nat and our healing ministry, physical and inner healing of Rachel. These days, well is still going on through personal arrangement via email. So we do get in touch to receive prayer as well. So lift up this ministry and the leaders. These days, local outreach are suspended, but yes, continue to lift up those who are suffering in the pandemic, particularly those we serve in SP Light, the sex workers, as well as the pool and street sleeper as well. But yes, there are many people who have lost their jobs, so they're more people feeling the need of food coupons and might even need to sleep on the streets as well. So yes, please lift up those who are in need in Hong Kong. Tonight's gathering, we still have discipleship classes going on. Experience God, the EG classes led by P. Sam, and the Helping Without Hurting class led by Sally and I. Pray for God's presence and leading and God speaking to each of the participants in the class, and also the Holy Spirit's leading and guidance, open heart to receive as well tonight. And lastly, we continue to lift up Hong Kong, even though for the past few days there's been cases are less than 100, but still very high for Hong Kong standards. So yes, continue to lift up God, lift up to ask God to heal all those who are suffering, and especially those who are in the hospital as well. The doctors, the nurses, having quite stressful times dealing with so many cases, as well as the patients, and many of them are from elderly nursing home. So that's why one of the reasons why the death cases have risen so much in Hong Kong. So yeah, pray for God's healing and protection that, yes, that God's word will come to touch their lives, especially those who are elderly and also so that none may be lost, but that the word of God will be preached and touch their lives. Yes, give them dreams and visions. And yeah, even the hospital chaplain can go and visit them and give them the word of life. Oh God, we thank you for today. Thank you that we can come here to hear your word, to know of your love for us, to know that we are your servants and our calling as a servant is to proclaim you the great mystery that's been hidden for ages and generations has been revealed for you in Christ. So Lord God, we pray that your words will be proclaimed and none of your words have been proclaimed will go out in void, and that all people will come to know you, Lord God. May you, all your chosen people, Lord God, we thank you, Lord. And yes, Lord God, also ask you to bless those who's working and go to their work or stay at home, that will you cover them and you go give them strength and discipline to also work from home as well. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.